Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time.
Tea time. Tea time lecture.
The Fair Maid of Astolat. Soon after the fight for the queen, it befell that the damsel of the lake, called by some Nimue, and by others Vivien, wedded Sir Pelleas, and came to the court of King Arthur. When she heard the talk of the death of Sir Patrice, and how the queen had been accused of it, she found out by means of her magic that the tale was false, and told it openly that the queen was innocent, and that it was Sir Pinel who had poisoned the apple. Then he fled into his own country, where none might lay hands on him. So Sir Patrice was buried in the church of Westminster, and on his tomb was written, "Here lieth Sir Patrice of Ireland, slain by Sir Pinel le Savage, that empoisoned apples to have slain Sir Gawain, and by misfortune Sir Patrice ate one of those apples, and then suddenly he burst." Also, there was put on the tomb that the Queen Guinevere was accused of the death of Sir Patrice by Sir Mador de la Porte, and how Sir Lancelot fought with him and overcame him in battle. All this was written on the tomb. And daily Sir Mador prayed to have the Queen's grace once more, and by means of Sir Lancelot he was forgiven. It was now the middle of the summer, and King Arthur proclaimed that in 15 days a great tourney should be held at Camelot, which is now called Winchester, and many knights and kings made ready to do themselves honour. But the queen said she would stay behind, for she was sick and did not care for the noise and hustle of a tourney. "It grieves me you should say that," said the king, "for you will not have seen so noble a company gathered together this 7 years past, save at the Whitsuntide when Galahad departed from the court." "Truly," answered the queen, "the sight will be grand. Nevertheless, you must hold me excused, for I cannot be there." Sir Lancelot likewise declared that his wounds were not healed, and that he could not bear himself in a tourney as he was wont to do. At this, the king was wroth that he might not have either his queen or his best knight with him, and he departed towards Winchester, and by the way lodged in a town now called Guildford, but then Astolat. And when the king had set forth, the queen sent for Sir Lancelot, and told him he was to blame for having excused himself from going with the king, who set such store by his company. And Sir Lancelot said he would be ruled by her, and would ride forth next morning on his way to Winchester. "But I should have you know," said he, "that the tourney I shall be against the king and his knights." "You must do as you please," replied the queen, "but if you will be ruled by my counsel, you will fight on his side." "Madam," said Sir Lancelot, "I pray you not to be displeased with me. I will take the adventure as it comes." And early next morning he rode away till at eventide he reached Astolat. He went through the town till he stopped before the house of an old baron, Sir Bernard of Astolat, and as he dismounted from his horse, the king spied him from the gardens of the castle. "It is well," he said, smiling to the knights that were beside him. "I see one man who will play his part in the jousts, and I will undertake that he will do marvels." "Who is that?" asked they all. "You must wait to know that," replied the king, and went into the castle. Meantime, Sir Lancelot had entered his lodging, and the old baron bade him welcome, but he knew not it was Sir Lancelot. "Fair sir," said Sir Lancelot, "I pray you lend me, if you can, a shield with a device which no man knows, for mine they know well." "Sir," answered Sir Bernard, "you shall have your wish, for you seem one of the goodliest knights in the world, and, sir, I have 2 sons, both but lately knighted. Sir Tyre, who was wounded on the day of his knighthood, and his shield you shall have. My youngest son, Sir Lavaine, shall ride with you, if you will have his company, to the jousts. For my heart is much drawn to you. And tell me, I beseech you, what name shall I call you by? You must hold me excused as to that just now, said Sir Lancelot. But if I speed well at the jousts, I will come again and tell you. But let me have Sir Lavaine with me, and lend me, as you have offered, his brother's shield. That shall be done, replied Sir Bernard. Besides these two sons, Sir Bernard had a daughter, whom everyone called the Fair Maid of Astolat, though her real name was Elaine LeBlanc. When she looked on Sir Lancelot, her love went forth to him, and she could never take it back, and in the end it killed her. As soon as her father told her that Sir Lancelot was going to the tourney, she besought him to wear her token in the jousts, but he was not willing. Fair damsel, he said, if I did that, I should have done more for your sake than ever I did for lady or damsel. But then he remembered that he was to go disguised to the tourney, and because he had before never worn any manner of token of any damsel, he bethought him that if he should take one of hers, none would know him. So he said to her, Fair damsel, I will wear your token on my helmet, if you will show me what it is. Sir, she answered, it is a red sleeve, embroidered in great pearls. And she brought it to him. Never have I done so much for any damsel, said he, and gave his own shield into her keeping, till he came again. Sir Arthur had waited 3 days in Astolat for some knights who were long on the road, and when they had arrived, they all set forth, and were followed by Sir Lancelot and Sir Lavaine, both with white shields, and Sir Lancelot bore besides the red sleeve that was a token. Now Camelot was filled with a great number of knights and kings and lords, but Sir Lavaine found means to lodge both himself and Sir Lancelot secretly with a rich burgess, and no man knew who they were or whence they came. There they stayed till the day of the tourney. At earliest dawn the trumpets blew, and King Arthur took his seat upon a high scaffold, so that he might see who had done best. But he would not suffer Sir Gawain to go from his side, for Sir Gawain never won the prize when Sir Lancelot was in the field, and, as King Arthur knew, Sir Lancelot oftentimes disguised himself. Then the knights formed into two parties, and Sir Lancelot made himself ready, and Elaine fastened the red sleeve upon his helmet. Then he and Sir Lavaine rode into a little wood that lay behind the knights who should fight against those of the Round Table. Sir, said Sir Lancelot, yonder is a company of good knights, and they hold together as boars that are vexed with dogs. That is the truth, said Sir Lavaine. Now, said Sir Lancelot, if you will help me a little, you shall see King Arthur's side, which is winning, driven back as far as they came. Spare not, sir, answered Sir Lavaine, for I shall do what I may. So they rode into the thickest of the press, and smote so hard with spear and sword that the knights of the Round Table fell back. Oh, mercy, cried Sir Gawain, what knight is yonder who does such marvelous deeds? I know who well it is, said King Arthur, but I will not tell you yet. Sir, answered Sir Gawain, I should say it was Sir Lancelot, by the blows he deals, and the manner that he rides. But it cannot be he, for this man has a red sleeve upon his helmet, and Sir Lancelot has never borne the token of any lady. Let him be, said Sir Arthur. You will find out his name, and see him do greater deeds yet, before he departs.